Thank you that we could do it in the name of Jesus Christ, because he loved us and gave himself for us so that we could be redeemed back to you and become your children through adoption. And we look for that appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to catch us out of this present evil world. But until that time, we're subject to the woes of this world and all the trials that go on. And I just want to take this opportunity, as we do as a group, to lift up any requests that are upon our hearts that trouble us day in and day out, and pray that you'd work mightily in each given request that's been mentioned. And we give you thanks for both our salvation and the fact that we could have fellowship with you on a continual basis, even though we have this body of sin, that you don't break fellowship, you don't cast us off in a way, that we are secure in Christ Jesus. And we give you thanks and praise for that. We pray that tonight's study will be enlightening and understanding, and just get us excited for the hope that's set before us. For us, in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
It was David's birthday yesterday.
Happy birthday to you.
Doesn't matter now. That was yesterday's birthday.
That's right. We got to wait till next year now. And what if it wasn't your birthday? Okay. What was I going to say? How it left the room. Okay. Well, anyhow, we have been for the past month thereabouts. Oh, I know what it was. Kind of blew my mind. I appreciate it. Is Sunday was the first time I got a full church audience applause since 1996. The first time. And by the way, CBS, ABC, and NBC, we don't have applause lights that come on. It's spontaneity, okay? So that was very encouraging. I appreciate that. I don't do it for the applause. It kind of caught me off guard, and I didn't have one of my wittier statements to say. So I was like, whoa, just take it and run with it. So, yeah, do we have it videoed? But we have it on audio, right? We have it on something, right? We have it up here for sure. Yeah, because y'all will forget it another way. She has a note. Like the good student that she is, she has the notes. So, anyhow. You know, when I was sitting there before I got up here, I'll be honest with you. It just happens like this at times. I don't know why. I wanted to walk out. It's the whole flesh side of things. I had no desire to get up here and preach. That's the irony of it all, is I really just, I did not feel like preaching. I mean, I don't know if there's ever a mood to preach, but Sunday was not it if there was. So that's the irony of it. And all of a sudden, you know, it's like the wind kicked up and this thing took off. And it's like, you know, it's not anything that I format. In spite of the way you feel, just like on Sunday, when you don't feel like coming to church, you just do it, right? Well, anyhow. Yep. Oh, well, I appreciate him for going through it. Oh, thank you. All right. Well, let's just go home. Why go from here? It's only down. All right. Well, anyhow, as you know, for the past, I hadn't logged it down at least a month. We've been going over the rapture and things leading up to it, how it happens, how it's laid out. I want to continue on that thought, because there is some scripture in there that looks like it almost contradicts it, or it sort of overlaps. And if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, you won't see it. I mean, And that's the problem you have today, is preachers not preaching rightly dividing. So when they get to the rapture side of this thing, there's a lot of question marks and things of that nature coming up, and people are very confused about it. So a lot of this initially was geared to straighten it out, show you how it's going to happen. And also, folks, you know, we're very teaching oriented. You can watch some of the big shots on TV and they're real hallelujah, praise God, and gives you that jump up and throw your hands up in the air and, you know, shout and all that other kind of stuff. Well, you know, not that that's bad, but the fact is I'd rather walk out of a study where I've gained knowledge that gave me the excitement, gave me the enthusiasm, than a man who knew how to perform to give it to me. And that's what you have going on today. So when you see this thing about the rapture and the absolute beauty of it, you can't help but be excited about it. If you're not excited about it, it's this. Check your salvation. Because there's something wrong. There's something wrong if you don't get excited about the rapture. It just is. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul writes a pretty lengthy report about it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And he begins down in verse 13 where he tells them, I would not have you to be ignorant. Well, that sums up a lot of the so-called Christendom today with them being very ignorant about it. Paul straightens it up so you're not ignorant about it. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. And we all know it's a serious downer when we lose a loved one, even a saved individual. It's more so when they're lost. But when they're saved, we still, you know, we still weep over that and bemoan it. It's just part of our nature to miss those that we love gone off, even though we know they're better off and they're with the Lord. It's still something that we struggle with, but we don't sorrow like the world, which has no hope. We have this hope. And so that takes the edge off the sorrow, because he says, I wouldn't have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Don't weep like those that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, those that are asleep. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. These are words of comfort. But if you don't understand them, they can't be comfort at all. So we need to understand the process, how it works, so that we can be comforted. I know that our church has suffered a lot of losses over the years. We've lost a lot of our saints to go be with the Lord. And if you have a full understanding of this reunion that's going to take place, it takes some of the weeping away. You don't have to have as many tissues with you, because you understand that one day, and even though they're better off now, you're going to be joined back together with them. That is the great hope that we have in Christ Jesus. So any preacher that's asked to do a funeral and doesn't cover this to any degree is doing the people out there a total, complete disservice. All right? You've got to discuss, you've got to cover the great hope of the reunion that takes place in Christ Jesus. Now, with that said, we're going to come back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You remember when we started, I said it's important that you rightly divide the word of truth to see the beauty of this rapture that we're going to experience. Without rightly dividing the word of truth, We're going to have issues. We're going to have problems. We're not going to see the truth of it. So we're coming back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. With that said, turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Look in Matthew 24. Look in verse 27. Matthew 24:27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, so shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now I can guarantee you, folks, that there are preachers today that will go to Matthew chapter 24 and read those verses 27 to 31. And when they're done doing that, they will tell their people that that's the rapture. Now, some of you are very well learned in the scripture where you know good and well that's not the rapture. But if you're ignorant, I can pull any shell game on you with the Bible that I want to pull on you. All right? That's how they have several houses, both in the states and in the islands. That's how they have their private airplanes. That's how they have their resorts. And that's why they're millionaires, because they prey on the ignorance of the people, and they keep them that way because the people will pay to have stupid stuff told to them. And so, oh, I'm getting this out the Bible. Look how beautiful that is. Well, just a little evaluation here. A little thought process into what God says, rather than letting the preacher take it over and throwing a bunch of hooey out there, and you just buy into it and you're going, oh, hallelujah, praise God, Jesus. And you're not paying attention to anything the Bible says. So with that said, the first verse, 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, if you're not learned, you will be confused that that is a rapture. Why? It's talking about who? Jesus Christ. What is he doing? He's coming back. Bingo! We got it. We got it. There he is. Well, let's do some comparison here. Get Matthew 25. Hold Matthew 25. Now, also get 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That's where we started from. You remember 1 Thessalonians 4 said to hold it or something. We're coming back to it. We're going to read these two. Now, why am I doing this? As I said from the start, guys, if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, if you don't take the doctrine for today and rightly divide it, there are things that look like they kind of dovetail. They sort of mirror one another. Well, they're two opposites, okay? Two different things. So the preacher that's using that in Matthew 24, and we're going to read 25 in just a minute, we're going to show that they're liars. Well, Mark, that's a bold statement. What if they're just wrong? Then they shouldn't be behind a pulpit, okay? So there's an alternative reason why they're behind a pulpit. Money. Filthy lucre. Okay? So either they're ignorant and they shouldn't be back there, or they know better and they're keeping the people's eyes closed to the truth. So, one of the two. Now, let's look in Matthew 25 and see how it mirrors Matthew 24. Matter of fact, since it's right in the neighborhood and Jesus is talking and all this, look in Matthew 24 again. Real quick, Verse 27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. So then, I see that Matthew 24, verse, what verse is that? 27, and Matthew 25, 31, are talking about the same event. He's being repetitive. He's giving it in Matthew 24, verse 27. He's making a statement about the Lord coming. As you see the sun that comes up in the east, what does the light do? Boom! It shines all the way to the west. Well, when Jesus Christ returns, the descriptiveness is the same. When he comes, apparently he's coming from the east. That's what it looks like to me. He's going to be brilliant, and the light will shine to the west. So he says some other things. Matthew 24 goes on. Then he gets to Matthew 25, and he says, verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, that mirrors what we just read, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. So then, according to those scriptures, he's going to come, apparently, down to the surface of the earth. Why? Because he's going to be in his glory here, which is that kingdom, and he's going to sit in that glory. There's going to be a sit-in. Peace. No, it will be peace. He'll be here to bring peace. There'll be a sit-in. So the only way he can do this is how? Come back to the earth. That's not difficult. That can clearly be seen. So he's going to come back to this earth, and he's going to then be a judge of the earth. It goes further on, and it talks about nations that are going to be gathered before him. They're going to be divided out to the right and to the left. The sheep nations on the right, the goats to the left. And so consequently, he addresses the sheep nations. Those are those that during this tribulation, prior to his return, the 7 years, Israel is going to be persecuted by the Antichrist. He is going to kill many of them. So they're going to scatter and go into the mountains and go hide and just wherever they can to survive. And consequently, there will be some other sheep out there, that is nations, that are going to take care of those Jews during that tribulation. They're going to feed them. They're going to protect them from the forces of the Antichrist. So when the Lord returns, you're going to have these nations, sheep in there, that are going to go in there as he sits on the throne of glory. However, there are also some goats there. The goats are nations that side with the Antichrist, and consequently, they don't help the Jews. They don't help the children of Israel. They don't help the brethren of the Lord. And so consequently, the goats show up over here, nations once again. Matter of fact, anybody ever hear of a term, Judas goat? Anybody? Who? You don't know what it is? Let me tell you a little story. It's very important that you understand this kind of stuff. We're removed from livestock except when we order off the menu. So we don't fool with animals other than roosters. Just saying. Many years ago, you had individuals that were sheep herders. And I'm not going back biblical times, but in our country, you had guys like cattle, would raise sheep. One of the severe problems that took place during that time with livestock was rustling, stealing individuals' livestock. Doesn't matter what it was, they would steal it. So, consequently, in that practice, what a man would do if he wanted to steal someone's sheep is he would take a goat from its youth and he would train that goat to respond to a whistle. So if the goat is out in the field, ultimately he could blow a whistle and the goat hear it and the goat would run to him. The goat was trained to respond to the whistle when he blew it, to come to the whistle. So what he would do at night is he would sneak the goat into the sheep herd and mill it about. Goat and sheep go along good. Wolves and sheep don't. But a goat can go into a flock of sheep and mill about and feed with them, and it doesn't spook the sheep. They don't start running. They just get along. So he would send them at night, that goat, into the sheep. And so consequently, what he would do is cut an area of the fence out that would keep them in there, and he'd have like a trailer hooked up to a truck or a tractor, whatever he had, or even horses if you go pre-industrialization. And at night, early in the morning, he would get next to his trailer, lower the gate, and blow the whistle. Well, guess who came? The goat. But by nature, sheep follow goats. So when the goat would reply to the whistle by going to the whistle, he would funnel that goat into the trailer, and guess who was behind the goat? So they called that goat a Judas goat to lead the brethren astray. So you see how it applies? You have goat and sheep. These are faithful to the Lord, and they go into this time when the Lord sits in his glory and he judges between them, and these go into the kingdom, the sheep do, nations, go into the kingdom, blessed of the Father. The goats are cursed and go into everlasting damnation. So, when you leave here, you can tell people, I learned about sheep and goats tonight. Well, none of you knew about a Judas goat, so I told you what it was. So, there you have it. Here he returns. In his glory, he sits in his glory on the earth. All right? Back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You see, Donald done teared up. He's got to go get some Kleenex. I know it was kind of affecting me too. So, anyhow. All right, y'all, back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's important that you rightly divide, because not only do you see the gospel of your salvation, you see this great hope of a reunion taking place. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. We're going to jump right in there. Then we, which are alive, let's go to 16 to get the thought. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Well, that's kind of, look at the similarity. He's coming back here. Matthew 25. The Lord himself shall descend. Blah, blah, blah. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be on the earth till he returns back. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them where?
In the clouds.
Not in Jerusalem, where the Lord is in Matthew 25 when he descends down and he has a seat on the throne of his glory. judging the nations during that time. Paul writes about him descending down for sure, but he only comes down to the clouds. And so, what do we have? Well, we have something special here. Let's go and do our little time frame of the dispensation of grace, because this is unique to us, only us. We're privileged. We have a great advantage over all people. You realize your salvation is nothing you can do to earn it or get it? Find that in your Bible outside of Paul's writings. You can't find it. Unique time of grace. Anybody can be saved today. How? Well, Christ died for all of our sins. All of our sins. He was buried, and then he was raised up the third day, and he's at the right hand of God right now, seated there. And when we trust in him, guess where we are? We're in Christ, seated there. Here's the deal. We live out our life here. That's birth, I guess. Death, right there. There are those, as I said earlier, that have left us. Family members, members of the church that were friends, brethren, that have left us. They have died. They've gone to sleep in Christ. So consequently, they die at that point in time. A few weeks ago, we covered an individual. Body, soul, spirit. And that's a little S. I've got to make that point. Because it's not the Holy Spirit. Once you trust in Christ, then this makeup of a human then gets the Holy Spirit within it. But you were made up with a body, soul, and spirit. So, you die. Last week, we utilized you, Joe.
Oh, yeah. I heard.
Yeah. So, anyhow, Joe, once again, Joe cannot sit through a class with us. Joe goes and he dies. Joe has trusted Christ. So the body dies. Let's scratch that out. But he has a soul and spirit. So then, at the time of his death, he goes up and he's in Christ. Soul and spirit go up to be with Christ. So there's good old Joe. How is it up there, Joe? However, we had a funeral. Ravenhorse wants that cut on it. So we took his body. And guess where his body is? Buried. And there it is. Those that are asleep in Christ. They've gone. They're with the Lord. The body is here on this earth. Why? Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now, why can't flesh and blood inherit the kingdom of God? Anybody? It's tainted with sin. So he can't go up there. It's not clean. But the spirit and soul that's asleep, as Joe is up there, he's sound asleep. Joe doesn't realize LSU won't win the national championship this year. Joe doesn't realize that the Saints will win the Super Bowl. Joe doesn't realize that a hurricane is coming next week. You heard it first here. He knows nothing. Why? Shh. He's asleep. So he's up there asleep. Well, during this same course in time, here's another fella born. And this individual's alive. And he doesn't get the privilege, I'm being sarcastic, of seeing death like Joe. So, Martin. Martin is here with us. All of a sudden, a time comes that you cannot find in your Bible. Impossible. Where the Lord is going to come back into where? Not on the throne of His glory on the earth. So then, in a moment, which is the measurement of time, which is an atom, which is very small measurement of time, several things are going to happen. Joe's going to wake up, and Joe, with the other saints, along with the Lord Himself, is going to come back into the clouds. Well, within that instant of time, Martin, then, who is alive, has not died, is going to go up and meet Joe in the air. And they're going to fist bump, chest bump, and hallelujah, unbelievably. So therein is our party. It starts for all eternity. People don't like the preacher saying party because it gives the emphasis of spring break and all. No. You can have, there's parties in the Bible. There's good parties. There's something called a jubilee. You might want to check it out. So then, Martin goes up, Joe's up there, and within quicker than you can snap your finger, Joe's going to wake up, Martin's going to be there. That's how quick this thing's going to take place. That's why when we started, I said all those pictures that these people have and do and show where the rapture takes place, and you got the windsock people where they're going up out of a car, and one out of an airplane, one out of a building, and they're going up. It ain't going to be that way, folks. Won't happen. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's put it in reverse, see what we ran over, and then go forward. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know, I would not have you to be ignorant, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Joe's body was dissolved. It's a point of death. He died. He's confident in that. His faith in Christ assured him the fact that he would go and be with Christ, being asleep, but he would be with the Lord. There's a body up there specifically made for Joe to be housed in that body. All right? So verse 2. For in this we groan. This is this tabernacle we have. You ever groan? Let me rephrase that. Do you ever not groan? That may be more. Do you ever just shut up? The answer is no, we don't. We groan, gripe, and complain all the time. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. So we look forward to that house which is from heaven. If so being clothed, we shall not be found naked. In other words, the spirit and soul that's left there wouldn't have a house, wouldn't have an exterior put to it. Okay? So now we've got an exterior there. Verse 4. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. So the confidence of us going back to the Lord if we die, Joe's confidence of going to be with the Lord when he dies is based upon the Holy Spirit that's in him. That's what he's talking about in verse 5. Now, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest, the surety of the Spirit. Therefore, we, kind of on and off again. Therefore, we are, well, on a good day, I think that way, or a bad day, I don't think that way. Grab the importance of the words. Therefore, we are always confident. Always confident. Knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. While Joe was in the body, he's absent from the Lord, but always confident. Why? Because if this tabernacle were dissolved, which it happened to Joe, it died, then he's not absent from the body. I'm sorry. Much teaching has got me drained. Then he is absent from the body. Why? Because his body, we saw it, Rabenhorse. We went over there and said, well, Joe, how come you never wore that suit to church? Now, you know Joe is not you. It's just a figment, right? Yeah, right. And so... And so we say, Joe, you didn't wear that suit to church. And as you're looking at this body, you go, Joe, am I in your will? What am I saying? I'm saying that when an individual dies that's saved, the body is here. If you're at home in the body, meaning you're alive, you're absent from the Lord. If the body is dissolved, you have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, that your spirit and soul goes shoop and goes inhabits into, and you're sound asleep. So then, God has taken care of the two issues that lead up to the rapture. The issue is, he's got to deal with those that have died and those that will be alive. So, with that said, turn to Philippians. Hang a right. Got three books. I didn't count. Not sure. Thereabouts. Maybe four. Philippians. Look in chapter 1. Verse 23. Paul says in Philippians 1:23, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. That's not the rapture. His desire is he wants to be gone. His desire is he wants to go be with Christ. How do I know it's not the rapture? Because the Philippians are still here. Verse 24. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So it's not the rapture. He's just telling them his desire that when he leaves out of here, he wants to go be with Christ, and it's far better. Let me ask you, the saints that have left out of here in death, are they far better off than us? You better believe it. And you couldn't go wake a one up and say, hey, would you come down and visit with us? They'd probably put you to sleep in Christ. It wouldn't settle well with them. I mean, go check back there with Samuel. The witch at Endor, okay? Saul goes over there. You know, a little seance she's carrying around, supposedly. Kind of like the preachers today that heal, supposedly. Saul goes there. King Saul said, I want Samuel. I need him back here. Samuel had died. I need him back here. We need to have a discussion. So she starts her little seance and poof of smoke here and boiling bat wings over here, or whatever they do, I don't know. Next thing he knows, Samuel's there. She leaves out screaming. You know why she screamed? Because this one worked. All the others didn't work. And Samuel said, why hast thou disquieted me? It's kind of like I worked nights for years, 39 years, getting up at 2 a.m. and working all night. My girls knew a thing or two about making noise in the morning when I'm asleep. Don't disquiet Dad. Let him sleep. Those that are up there are sound asleep, and they'll never be back here on this earth to come in fellowship with us. They're gone. So then, we've got Martin here. We can't leave Martin out. I mean, come on, Martin's part of this whole equation. Martin is saved too. How does Martin factor into this thing? He's just carrying out his life on this earth. He's catching fish and doesn't hardly give any to the preacher. I don't know what's up with that. Only one time and I had to clean them all, but I'll do that for fish, but that's okay. We'll work for food. You catch, I'll eat. So what about Martin? He's alive when the Lord comes into the clouds. Martin's got a huge problem, other than what Lisa will tell you. Martin has a tremendous problem. Unlike Joe, his body died. Martin is full beats ahead. His heart is just going to town. He's alive. That's a problem. That is a severe problem. Why? Because his ultimate destination does not take people with flesh and blood. So he can't go where he wants to go. He can't go where his faith in Christ has promised him to go. So God's now got another challenge. He dealt with Joe by letting his body of the dust it came return unto the dust in his spirit. And so goes. And God, like God provides, he had a body not made with hands, eternal in the heaven for Joe. But when he returns, Martin's here in his body. He can't go up there. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So we've got an issue. We've got a problem. Martin has a problem. How do you take care of that problem, God? I mean, we can't do anything about it. I mean, we've already had people in their best effort, try to get up there apart from Jesus Christ. I don't know how many stories they built, but they tried to build a tower unto heaven, and that didn't get them up there. So we are pretty much grounded. Pretty much grounded. I mean, you know, they talk about astronauts going up there in the space shuttle and all that. Do you know how many miles up they are? Anybody?
33,500.
They are. That's pitifully wrong.
That's as a crow flies.
That's as a crow flies. Think about it. The moon's out there. The sun's way out there. Pluto's way out there. We're talking about heaven. That's beyond the stars. The highest elevation man has ever gone, they claim to the moon. We could hold to that. I don't know the miles, but we'll use a space shuttle. They're only 400 miles up. I mean, folks, that's not a speck of dust in the entirety of the universe, you understand? They have the Hubble telescope that's seeing things further than we've ever seen before. And they still don't see the end of it all. So 400 miles is nothing. It's about what the crow flies in the whole scheme of things. So under our best effort, Martin ain't getting above 400 miles. So Martin's got a problem when the Lord returns, comes into the clouds. What's the problem? This body. Well, God's got a way to fix it. Look in Philippians chapter 3. Verse 20, for our conversation, and that word literally means citizenship. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So this body of flesh and blood, God can subdue. You know what it is to subdue. Sub is under. He can bring it under his authority to get it up there with him. How's that? He's going to take Martin's body, which is vile, no good, and he's going to change it where it's fashioned. Martin, you going to a fashion show? If I had music on the spot, I'd be playing on the catwalk. I'm too sexy for my... It would work, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it work? Martin is going to the fashion show. Now, if that doesn't keep you up tonight, nothing will. So Martin, I struck my stuff on the... So Martin then... Martin goes to the fashion show. What's he putting on? A glorious body. It's going... His vile body is going to be what? Changed and fashioned like unto his glorious body. So when this event happens, will they find Martin laying in the car, at work, at Walmart, or in his boat fishing, of which I've only one time got fish from? Will they find his body in any of those locations? Why? So the body's going up. Those that are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So then Martin's body, which is not fitted for that, so God's got a challenge, he solved it. The body that Christ, who was raised up and went up into glory, got his glory in heaven, whom no man has ever seen, not a five-year-old boy either. That body is going to be granted to those that are alive and remain, where their bodies will also receive the glory that Christ got when he went up at the right hand of God Almighty. And so Martin then goes up. And Joe and Martin are united for all eternity. So then, the separation from Joe leaving out to the rapture is just how long you live here. You understand what I just said? The separation of those that have left here, that have died, that are asleep in Christ, is only as long as you're alive. Because the moment you die, the rapture's going to be there. Years are irrelevant when you're asleep in Christ. Years are irrelevant when you're asleep. You won't recognize it. There won't be a clock you're going to wake up in the morning and answer to. There isn't anything that's going to tell you what day it is, what time of the season, what's going on down there on earth. You're asleep. So the moment Joe closed his eye in death, he's going to instantly open them at the rapture, not knowing how long he had been asleep. So the day that Paul died, even though now it's 1900 years, he has no clue it's 1900 years. His eyes closed in death, and it's like this, bump, just that quick, and there's a rapture. Just that quick for him. So the separation of those loved ones that went ahead of us is only bothersome to us, sad to us, while we're alive. Now, if the Lord comes back while we're alive, those that have gone to sleep will rise first. So there's Joe. He's asleep. He's going to rise first. Makes sense. Why? He's going to be awakened. Rise and shine. Awaken. Then the Lord will come back and bring them that sleep in Christ with him. Well, then that tells me Joe ain't down here. Okay? So when you die in Christ, your body, soul, and spirit don't lay here. There are those that say wherever your body gets laid, there's your soul and spirit. It ain't like that, folks. We're left with the residue of the body. The soul and spirit is up there asleep. So the Lord, when that day comes, they're going to wake up, come back into the clouds, and we will, that are alive and remain, will meet them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord and the rest of our family. It is out of the entirety of the Bible for believers. It is the most exciting event that will ever take place. The Jews that will be faithful during the tribulation to the Lord, they're looking for this. That's going to be fantastic for them. But in my mind, it only pales in comparison. When God took his enemies, remember Sunday? Enemies, and put them in Christ to a point where they have a position to ever be with the Lord himself for all eternity. That far exceeds those that will have to endure and go into that. Good for them. Have fun. Have at it. But I want what we got. I want that hope. I want that reunion. And by the way, it's going to be impressive to have the Lord himself come back to get us. Remember Matthew? The Lord's coming back with his angels. They're going to play a big role in defeating the Antichrist and all of his armies. They're going to be the buzzards out there. They're going to come down. And folks, when spirit angels battles fleshly man, it ain't even a contest. How are you going to kill a ministering spirit? That's what angels are. I mean, you're going to shoot them? You're going to chop them with a sword? How do you kill an angel? You can't do it. So it's going to be an absolute slaughter when they start lobbing the heads off and chopping those people up. That's why they say, in the valley of Megiddo, the blood will come up to the bridle of the horses. It's going to be a bloodbath. And all that's great for these Jews that's going to inherit this thing. But folks, we got something that exceeds all that. And that's the rapture and the hope of eternal life in Christ Jesus. And I'm done. That's how you end it.